You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem HealthShare Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. That's RedeemHealthShare.org for more information. Hey, we're Aaron and Jennifer Smith with Marriage After God,
helping you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
And today we're going to ask each other random questions about finances and money. So before we get started, I want to start off with a disclaimer. We are not financial advisors.
No way.
So we're not giving stock suggestions or anything like that. We're just going to ask each other questions about our experience with money.
Yeah.
And I actually have no clue what your questions are, and you don't have any clue what mine are.
These things always make me nervous.
Yeah, so
I like to be prepared.
We do these episodes every once in a while, but these are going to be really candid answers from our own life.
I feel like is really helpful for the listener because I feel like they're going to relate to us and understand what we've been through or what we're going through currently. And so I do, but I don't like these.
And they're hard because it takes it. We do cut out the pauses because sometimes we have to think about them.
Yeah.
We're like, let me think about that one for a sec. But, you know, hopefully what we want to offer to you guys is just an inside perspective on, you know, where we've gone in life with finances and money and where we're coming from and what God's teaching us.
Yeah.
And maybe there'll be some funny stuff in here.
Some reality.
I actually don't know.
Some reality and some encouragement.
Yeah. And because our heart is that as marriages after God, we would have hearts that are yielded to God in every aspect of our life.
Yep.
One of them being money. And to be honest, we all are on a journey with money.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks a lot about it. But today we're just going to talk about the journey we've been on.
Yeah.
So let's get started. Do you want to do the first question or do you want me to do the first question?
Let me do the first question.
Okay, you do the first question and then I'll do mine.
Okay, so my first question is, were you taught good money habits like savings, you know, building up a savings account by your parents? Or I guess the question is, who was your biggest influence?
That is a great question, actually. So let me think for a second. I have a terrible memory and you know this. Okay, so first thing I remember is my mom did definitely teach me how to use a checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone use checks anymore?
I don't know.
I was taught. I was taught how to do the reconciliation in the back pages and write down
what comes in.
So I do remember that. I remember them opening in a bank account for me and me putting money in it and learning to save. So I think the basics.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saving when I was a little kid, like $100.
Wow.
I don't remember how
That's
I got all the
lot.
Money.
Yeah, probably.
I know I had
money.
A box. I had a box. It was this like wood box. And every dollar I'd get it and I'd wet the dollar and flatten it out.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know this about you. I would flatten the dollar out and I'd make it perfectly crisp and I'd let it dry. And then I would put it in the box and I'd have them all organized in the right and I'd have a rubber band around them and I saved up all these ones and fives and tens.
Okay, this type of personality explains a lot about how we organize our finances.
You've never heard the story before.
I've never heard the story before and I feel like now that I know, it makes sense because
You're
how
like,
you organize...
I'm going to change some of these questions I have for you.
No. But as I see it, because you lead us in our finances and you organize our budgeting and all of that, and there's like, it's meticulous. And I feel like you've been really good at that.
Well, so I don't know who taught me that.
Okay.
But that was just kind of, I remember there was, so somehow money was talked about. I remember my parents, you know, giving me a dollar at church to put into the tithe. So
awesome.
I feel like they gave me the foundational stuff, the basic stuff.
Good for them. That's awesome.
So yeah, I think they might have given me more. They had to have,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't remember all the details. Well, let me...
Real quick, does Target have anything to do with any of these questions?
I didn't actually ask any.
Okay, good.
The thing about Target.
For all the wives out there.
But Costco, I'm just kidding. Okay,
no.
Here's your first question.
Okay,
what was your view of money growing up?
Well, I remember it being kind of this elusive thing of like, well, we never had it. I don't want to go as far as saying we were poor growing up, but I often heard my parents say things like that. And things have changed now in their life and in ours, but I just remember, you know, having very little. And I remember personally, like when I started working and getting my own income, I protected it. But I spent it, but it was mine.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily share it. I wasn't super generous. I tithed here and there, but it wasn't consistent.
So would you feel like you were, you know, based off of the question you asked me, did you, were you taught about money other than just hearing about lack of it or?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember my mom sitting down specifically with me to like show mm-hmm. me certain things, but it was kind of like, you know, we'd be at the grocery store and I'm like, hey, can I fill out your check for you? Because I remember checks right. back then too.
Yeah, check.
And she would let me and she would show me what boxes to fill out. And then when I was a teenager, probably like 13 or 14, mm-hmm. she also opened up a savings account for me. And so I got to get familiar with right. putting money in the bank.
So we kind of both had like yeah. those foundational things.
Yeah.
So there is a second part to this question though.
Oh, no.
So I was asking about your view of money, but what was your view of giving?
Yeah. So I shared a little bit about that. And I remember it just being a little bit harder for me. It's weird. It wasn't as hard to, you know, if I was going to buy a gift for someone, mm-hmm. like I saw value in that and then give it to them. Yeah. But like just giving someone money or even giving the church money, I justified it by, you know, saying, well, I'll serve with my time or my energy. I'll go work yeah. in the children's ministry.
Yeah. I remember us having conversations
yeah,
about
that. I just saw the benefit of that, but I guess because I always thought like money was tight or it was so little that I had to kind of keep it
yeah.
to myself.
Keep it real close.
Keep it real close. I was controlling over my money.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all...
Not in a healthy way.
And we're all at a certain place when it comes to money and our perception of it, and it comes yeah. from how we were raised yeah. or, you know, things that we've experienced. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Okay, so my next question for you is... going into marriage and being the husband and kind of, I don't know if you felt the weight of responsibility with finances and having to provide, but did you have any fears going into marriage and managing our finances?
No. I didn't know what managing our finances looked like.
Yeah.
We hadn't experienced it yet. But I feel like I might be a little unique. Maybe not. But I don't feel like I've thought too much about money.
Mm.
I remember that we had lots of conversations about it. I remember even telling you when we got engaged, hey, I may not have a lot of money. I may not ever be able to buy you anything.
But I'll love you.
But I'll be here for you and we'll figure it out. That was just me being honest. Like, I didn't know if we were going to, mm-hmm. what kind of money we would make or, you know, if we'd ever be wealthy or have yeah. a home. I didn't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I wasn't worried about it either.
Mm.
So maybe in a unhealthy way, I didn't think about money at all.
Like no concern.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's a healthy thing too. I've never been too concerned about money,
mm-hmm.
as a whole. But no. So going into marriage, I don't think it was an anxiety of mine. Like, oh, I got to figure out money
mm-hmm.
stuff. Again, we've learned a lot over the years of like how much we have to focus on it and manage it well mm-hmm. and steward it well. But no, I'd say early on when we were getting married, it wasn't something that was on the forefront of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Other than we needed it to go to Africa.
Yeah, so just to let people know who are listening, we jump-started our marriage by jumping into missionary ministry.
And we went to Africa for 4 months.
Yeah, we traveled around, went to Africa and stuff. And so our finances were kind of unique jumping into marriage because we relied on the support of other people while we were traveling internationally.
We had no money.
We didn't have
money. Like legitimately no. I mean, we raised money.
We raised money and then we took it, but then... While we were there and leading up to that, we had our jobs leading up to the time that we left, which was about 2 or 3 months of marriage. But then we heavily relied on the support of others.
Well, not only that, but when we moved to Florida for a bit,
mm-hmm.
Just to give a little bit of background, there was a season where I was working full time for free in the ministry mm-hmm. that we were part of, the missionary organization, and you were working part time.
Mm-hmm.
We had no kids then. And we still had no money.
We were broke.
We were so broke, of course, because I wasn't even being paid and you were getting paid minimum wage
yeah.
in Florida, which is like less mm-hmm. than normal
yeah.
and part-time. I remember us being in our car one night or one afternoon and we had no money for gas.
Yeah.
we're sitting
gasless.
There
like,
okay.
Yeah.
God's taking care of us every step of the way though.
I'd say your parents were a huge blessing to us during those times because
they were.
They've always supported us and been open-handed with their finances. And
remember that day?
That day
my
specifically,
mom gave me $20.
You called your mom and I was so embarrassed and I was just I said, don't tell her. What did I say? I said, don't tell her that we're homeless. Okay, that was same day. That was the same day that we were in transition. That's a good word, transition,
yeah.
from one house to another.
But we didn't have another house yet.
Yeah.
We couldn't stay at the house we were at.
They weren't our houses. They were people letting us stay at their places because we were trying to serve as missionaries and we're traveling a lot. And it was just a really interesting
time. God took
care
of us, but I would say it was foolish.
Yeah.
I would say that was, the negative part of me not paying attention or considering our finances.
Yeah.
I should have changed that scenario. And we did.
Yeah.
God convicted our hearts and he put us on a whole journey of changing our thought process on money and our responsibility with it.
Yeah. But I did tell you, don't tell her that we're homeless. Just tell her that we need the money for gas.
Yeah.
And it all worked out. We got a place that night. It all was
great.
Yeah,
we did. It was awesome.
So God was looking out even when we weren't. He's faithful even when
we weren't, yeah. But that's where we started our journey of money is just experiencing that side of it.
Yeah.
So let me get to my question, my second question for you. Okay, this is a question for you, but it's about me. Hey, we just wanted to take a quick break from this week's episode to invite you and your spouse to take Jennifer and I's 31-day marriage prayer challenge.
We wrote 31 prayers for my husband and 31 prayers for my wife to encourage couples in their prayer life for one another.
So if you're interested in taking our challenge, as thousands of couples have already done, please go to marriageaftergod.com/challenge at the end of this episode, and you'll get more information about the challenge.
Thousands of couples have already gone through this prayer challenge, and we're so excited to be able to extend this to you and invite you to participate.
We dare your marriage. So, what is one area I can grow and mature in when it comes to money?
Okay, that's really funny because I have a similar question for you.
Should make yours the number two, three for me.
Okay, so what's one area that I want you to grow in?
That you think I could grow or mature in when it comes to money?
I think sometimes... Okay, so you have this part of your personality that loves to research. Like, you spend a lot of time on researching things, which is a really good... It's really good.
Can be really good.
It is really good, I think.
Yeah.
The downside is because you do so much research and you look at reviews and you look at what other people are saying and you look at price value, when you do actually go to make a purchase, it's a really good purchase. Sometimes really expensive purchase, or sometimes it's something that we think we need when we don't necessarily need that one or that thing. It could be a...
So I buy the more expensive thing because
it had the better reviews.
Well, and it's going to last longer.
We have all these justifications of what we walk through when we buy a purchase, but
which I do.
Yeah,
I do that.
And you don't do it all the time, but when you do make those bigger purchases, I don't know.
No, so you're saying having a little bit more of a sober mind about certain things, because it's not like I make big purchases all the time.
No.
But when I do, often instead of just going with the more affordable or something that is just will fit what we need, I'm going to go and get, because I'm looking for value.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I need to spend a little bit more to get the value I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that also hangs us up on the purchase that we need to make in order to.
For months.
Yeah. Because I need to do my research.
That could be good though. The slowness of it.
I know. That's why I said it's like a
hard,
weird
balance.
It's like a catch 22. Yeah.
Maybe getting more sober about my expectation of the value.
That's good.
And being okay with less when it matters. Yeah. I don't know. Like thinking faster and wiser and slower and smarter all at the same time.
Yeah. All the same time.
I know what you're saying. No one's gonna understand what we're talking about, but
If you have an example.
Yeah.
I don't know to put you on the spot, but
I don't. I'm trying to think. No, I don't. So I'll give you an example of something I'm thinking about.
Okay.
Like, I want to buy a lawnmower.
Okay.
And I could go down to the thrift store and pick up a lawnmower for like $25. I could call around and see if any friends have an extra one I could borrow or buy. But the way I think is I'm going to go look online and I'm like, well, if I'm going to be using this every weekend, I might as well get a new one. But if I'm going to get a new one and spend that kind of money, I might as well look for the best one. And so now,
it just keeps going up and up.
And I haven't bought a lawnmower yet.
And you haven't bought a lawnmower yet.
So
that's a great example.
And this has been a few weeks.
Yeah.
So, okay. I will think about buying a lawnmower in a better way.
Okay.
Like, not go buy the best one. And I might call some friends up soon. Actually, someone told me they might have one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you might buy one and it breaks down, and then you can learn how to fix it. It's good all around.
It's true.
Time waster.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Okay.
That was my question for you. That's really
about
confusing.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So my next question is, throughout our marriage, I guess for a little backstory if people don't know us. We got debt-free, and we've been really committed to remaining debt-free. But one thing you've been really adamant on, even from the beginning of our marriage, was no credit cards.
Right.
So I guess my question is, why, Aaron? Why so adamant about that?
Well,
even times so, that I had good justifications or excuses why, no, we should do this. We'll get miles.
To be honest, so let's be honest. Mm-hmm. You're right. I've been so adamant about no credit cards. But we did get a credit card.
We did.
Just a couple years ago.
For about a year, yeah.
For about a year. It was an Amazon credit card because they had such good points and like all the things.
Okay.
And we did that to buy a house, and we needed credit because we had, literally had no credit because we've never had credit cards.
Yeah.
And it made it harder, which was fine. And
what made it harder? What do you mean?
Not having credit.
Oh, yeah.
No credit score made it harder to do the loan thing. And so I was like, hey, let's get a credit card. And we were just going to do like one or two things on it.
It became
just
a habit
to build credit.
And
then what happened was everything we were spending on our debit, we now put on our credit. And even though we were paying it, what happened was our way of spending money, even on all the normal things, got so out of whack because what we would do is we'd spend on the credit card. And then by the time we paid the credit card, the money that would have been spent a month ago hadn't been spent yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time we pay off the credit card, now we're back to zero.
Yeah.
We're always playing catch up.
Catch up. Yeah.
And I hated that. Mm-hmm. And I finally like cut the credit card up, and it took us like a couple months to
commit to
detox
from
using the credit card.
Well, one thing that I noticed with the credit card was that there was this access to, it felt like free money. It was like,
it's the same concept as poker chips.
Mm.
The reason you play with, like casinos will play with poker chips versus cash is because poker chips are less painful to put on the table.
Interesting.
You put a $25, they're all the same size.
Yeah.
Maybe they're different colors,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't feel like money. And so you spend more.
I think Dave Ramsey also shared this tip once is when if you're spending with cash, you're feeling it going through your hand. You're not going to go waste it on that $8
you're like,
mocha, you'll just get a black coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're constantly using your debit card, you don't feel it as much. But it's even more true with credit cards, I feel like.
It is. And also with credit cards, they do the whole points thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you an incentive to spend more,
mm-hmm.
which we don't need incentives to spend more. we have enough incentive to spend more.
Yeah.
So that's why I've always been afraid of credit cards. I just knew that debt and credit cards were dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So before and after that year that we had a credit card, that's why you're so adamant about it.
Well, it proved, like having the credit card proved exactly why I hate credit cards.
Yeah.
Even though we were doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone would say, oh yeah, get a credit card, just make sure you pay down the balance
mm-hmm.
and not keep a balance and all that. We never paid a penny of interest, but that doesn't make it any more of a healthy habit.
Mm-hmm.
We were so backwards on the way our money was being spent that it like gave me anxiety.
That's true. I remember you.
Yeah. And
really
I'm like, I don't know. And then the detoxing, it took a few months. Like we were negative a bunch
mm-hmm.
because we were playing catch up and on the way our money was coming in and the way the money was going out.
And we forgot how to spend correctly. Like
it did. Yeah. It was totally different. Well, we have to look at our budget again. We have to like look at how we're, so I just hate credit cards.
Okay.
And so that's just the reality of it.
Okay. You asked me my next question.
Next question. This is also in the beginning of our marriage.
I thought you were saying it's also about me.
No. In the beginning of our marriage, I remember us praying that we would make more money so that we could give more money and be more generous.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, we've had opportunities to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Has your or our perception about giving changed at all since then?
Yes. I mean, mine definitely. I don't know if yours has increased because I feel like you've always been a really generous person. And what you shared in the beginning of that question of praying that prayer,
mm-hmm.
I feel like was one of your, you've taught me a lot and led me a lot in this area of generosity. And I feel like that was one way where you taught me
mm-hmm.
in a really special way, because it's not like you just sat down with me and pointed out where I was not being generous. You sat down and said, hey, we should be praying about this. And so we prayed, we lifted our requests up to God. And anyways, I just really feel like over the years, he's answered our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He's been faithful to show us different ways of giving, different opportunities. He's invited us a lot to just participate in serving the body and being
mm-hmm.
generous. And I feel like more of a generous person because of that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I used to see generosity, the pinnacle of generosity is giving more,
mm-hmm.
That was my, I was like, oh, I want to, that's why I prayed this, because I truly wanted to increase in what we had, not so that I can have more, but so that I can give more. That was my, that was a reality of what I, how I felt and believed. And as we've, you know, matured and gotten better jobs and now, you know, just making money from our books and trying to be more generous and giving more, something that I've changed in is not that I don't want to give more. I still have a heart to give and want to be generous. But what I've found is I can get lazy in giving in the other ways of my time, my energy, my resources, my.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.
Love my other things because I can give money. Not that giving money is a bad thing, but I felt like God showed me that there's lots of ways that he desires us to give, mm-hmm. and that there's other ways that could be more valuable than just giving someone $10 or $100 or something, that I could give them something more valuable than money. Mm-hmm. Almost like showing me that money's...
like what is true generosity?
Well, not just true generosity, what... God is actually desiring us to give. Mm. And not that, like I said, the money or time or none of those are intrinsically differently bad or better. But seeing the true value in things, because I can give all my money, as you know, it says in the Bible, and have not love, and I'm nothing. Mm. Right. And so it doesn't matter what I'm giving. It matters why I'm giving and who I'm giving for. And so he's just been transforming my perception on giving, and I could default to like, oh, let's just give so-and-so money. Or, hey, how about like I give them, you know, a whole day of me helping them, or
what do they actually need?
Yeah, what do they actually need? Mm-hmm. And money could be it.
Yeah.
But am I using that as a crutch my giving?
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to add to that first part of the question about us praying for God to give us more so that we can give more. I remember specifically you mentioning like, we're not going to wait for him to give us more. We're going to start now. Them. And I think that's really important, especially for our listeners to hear, because I think sometimes we can always be in a season of waiting and we're like, well, we have to wait for God to give us more in order to give more, when we can give out of what we have, even if it's a little bit. And so I just want to encourage them with that.
Yeah,
because we've found it to be truly a blessing, even when you give when you barely have.
Well, and the Bible says that exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it talks about, Jesus talks about the woman who gives her last, you know, mite, mm-hmm. and he says she's given more out of her poverty than you did out of your wealth.
Yeah.
And so there's this perception that we have of like, well, I can't give until I have more to give, which doesn't make sense, because unless we have a heart of giving,
right,
we're never going to give.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to feel like enough, because that's the chase of numbers. Mm-hmm. There's always another number to jump to. So that's how I've changed in this. But I think you're right. You've gotten much more generous, and I've gotten, I feel like I've changed in what I see as generosity.
Yeah.
Making sure that my heart is right and not just I can give money.
That's really good.
Which could be so cheap in the kingdom mindset, or perfectly generous. It's all how we do it. So.
Yep.
Your question.
Okay, I'm up next. So, did you ever have a goal of how much you wanted in your savings account or in our savings account? Has there ever been a number?
This probably goes back to my first answer about not thinking about money very often. No.
No.
I don't think I've ever had a number. There's been specific times in our life when we're saving for something specific.
So we needed a number?
Yeah, but... I don't think I've ever had like a, oh, I want $10,000 in savings. Oh, I want $5,000 in savings. Like, I've never, Even though Dave Ramsey says you should have a certain amount in there.
I think it's like 2,000.
Well, yeah, I think there's a minimum fund. Yeah, emergency fund, but then there's like 6 months, you know, savings of payroll or whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't believe I've ever had a specific number in mind.
Okay.
But maybe I should. I don't know. We'll let the listeners tell us if I should have a specific number in mind.
Okay.
Okay, here's a question for you. This is kind of a fun one, and it's also kind of maybe it's a question they can be asking each other.
Okay. That's good.
That are listening. What is the best thing you've ever spent money on? And here's my catch with this is I'm trying to point out that sometimes we look for value in things, uh-huh, and we think it's going to be there, but then it's not what we think it's going to be. So I want to see if you can recall, like, oh, the best thing I've ever spent money on was...
The best thing I ever spent money on was... Oh, man. I
feel like I know what kind of thing it will be.
What kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that really comes to mind are two things, and they're both jewelry-oriented.
Jewelry? Okay.
One thing you bought me...
Would this be like a typical thing for women?
Actually, I think you bought me both, so I can't even use those examples.
Why not?
I don't know.
Oh, because I bought them.
Because you bought them.
Oh. Okay, so
it's the ring that I have now is my wedding ring. Okay. You bought it for me on my 10-year wedding anniversary.
Yeah, but you didn't buy it, I guess. It's our Well, if it's our money, then maybe you did.
I can't think. I guess the couch.
That was a good purchase. That was a good couch.
Okay, so let me give you some background.
The couch behind us?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a nice
so,
couch.
So just some backstory real quick. I was pregnant with Olive, and we had just moved to Central Oregon, and somebody had given us this, like, old 1970s floral couch. It was bright yellow.
Smelled like cat pee.
Oh my gosh, it smelled so bad. And we had it for almost a year, I think. Yeah. And
I really liked that couch.
It was really stiff, and I was over it. And I told Aaron, can we please buy new couches? And what's really funny is we're renting this little tiny house. Like, it was like a little cottage bungalow style.
It was like 1,100 square feet.
I feel like it was smaller than that. But anyways, the living room is not very big. But we went to this furniture outlet place. I sat on every piece of furniture until I found the one that I wanted. I was probably like 6 months pregnant. And I found these couches. And they've been, I mean, I've loved them. They've been one of the best things we've ever bought.
The most,
and it barely fit in that house.
It didn't fit in the house, but we had them in there. Yeah. It was the most money we spent on furniture. Mm-hmm. Usually we would get given furniture, or we'd go to the thrift
stores. It was our first
house
purchase, like a furniture. Yeah. And you know what? If people read The Unveiled Wife, they would know that our very first couch as a married couple was an inflatable blue
plastic
blow-up couch. Yeah.
Couch that deflated.
That deflated while we watched
the bottom part did.
Yeah. And these couches.
So couches is like a thing for us.
I guess so, you guys.
We had this beautiful, ugly blue couch from like the 70s in Florida.
So the things with the couches that we have now, I even remember the day that the delivery guys dropped it off and unboxed it. Like, that's how powerful this purchase was for me. So I'm really happy with it.
So I actually thought you were going to answer like trips we've been on, like adventures.
I didn't even think about that.
That's what I thought you were going to answer.
I knew that you would probably answer that.
Okay.
Although I like that too. Your biggest thing is spend money on memories. So
yeah. So these couches have been awesome. They're comfortable, and we get the kids play on them, make forts
they're
out of them.
They're huge pillows, so yeah, building forts is like awesome.
They're like perfect fort.
What's funny couches. Though is the pillows are so big, they're super heavy. Anytime they want to build a fort, they're like gung ho about it, and then the moment we say, "Okay, clean up," they're like, "We can't, they're too heavy."
Yeah, they can take them off and build a whole fort, but they can't put them back. It's difficult.
Okay. For them. Anyways.
Okay, so you have one more question for me.
Okay, so what's funny about this is my last question.
Let me guess, it's the exact same one as mine.
No, it happens to be, what was your worst purchase ever? Because you're such a researcher and you like go for the top-notch thing, what?
So, okay.
You've got to have a bad one in there.
Well, it's not going to be worse in the sense that you're thinking, like a bad thing I bought.
Okay.
It's more in like I regretted.
Yeah.
Like what is it called? Buyer's remorse.
Okay.
I've had that several times.
Yeah, you have.
So, and you're probably going to remember this story. The paintball gun that I bought a long time ago.
That's exactly what I think.
I was going. That was the one. I knew that was what you're thinking about. Well, and the reason that I've had plenty of remorseful purchases in my life, I'm not going to lie, but this one just has it because the Lord used it to teach me something about myself.
Yeah.
when it comes to not just money, but where I find my value. Mm-hmm. And I was going through a season, we were financially strapped. I didn't feel very successful at what I was doing in life.
Our marriage was like,
our marriage was a little like, you know, and
it was more than, it was okay, like, all right. We're drowning.
Yeah. So I
can only laugh about that now because we're so far from that place now.
Yeah. Not back then. It wasn't funny. No. But I wanted to feel successful again. Mm-hmm. I wanted to feel needed and useful and valuable. And I did used to be a part of a paintball team when I was younger. You remember when you first were, yeah, you know, hanging out with me, I was working at a mm-hmm. huge paintball park in California.
The first day I met your mom was at one of your tournaments.
Yeah. And I was good and I loved it. And it was a very short season of my life. And so when I'm in this season, I'm feeling like, you know, a little bit sad and depressed and unsuccessful. And so I was clinging to an idea of who I could have been, who I was and who I could have been. Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, I want to buy a paintball gun. I want to start, you know, get back into that hobby. Right. What's funny about paintballs, it's not a cheap hobby. Like, You don't buy cheap paintball guns to go do a hobby of paintballing.
You definitely know. I wouldn't buy.
So, like I said, I bought a really nice paintball gun and all the equipment and all the stuff. And you know what? It was really surprising because you were like, okay. You like, let me. Even though you probably thought it was such a stupid idea.
I didn't see the value in it at all.
But. And I went one time. And I felt the Lord tell me, like, why are you doing this? Why did you go spend all this money? And you're never going to, like, this is not what you want.
How long did the gun sit in the box for before you, like?
Maybe a couple months. Yeah. And it just sat in the box. I only used it one time. It was brand new. And I finally, like, I came to my senses and the Holy Spirit was like, you are looking for something in the wrong place. Mm. And the only reason you bought this is because you feel this way and you're going through this. And I had to repent. Mm. I came to you and I said, I'm sorry.
You said, I feel like an idiot.
I feel like that's actually what I said. I said, I feel like an idiot. I said, I think the only reason I wanted to do this and buy this is because I don't feel successful. Mm. And I had to admit to that. Mm-hmm. And you like forgave me. And you're like, I'm really glad that you're deciding to get rid of this because I did not want you to do that. And
I was like, can you sell it for what it's worth?
And no, I didn't. I had to I lost money on it. Yeah. But that was a lesson that I learned in looking for value and security and fulfillment mm-hmm. in something else mm-hmm. other than God. Mm-hmm. And that was, so that's why that's like sticks out to us is that, or to me specifically is that story is, that was me buying a feeling or a notion about myself and trying to turn into something that I wasn't mm-hmm. and trying to fulfill myself through money, yeah. which doesn't work.
Yeah, don't do
in
that.
In any way ever. You'll for anyone. For anyone.
Yeah, don't do that.
like the Bible tells us you cannot serve God and money. Yeah. Like you'll hate one and love the other, or you serve one and you'll despise the other. Like you cannot do it. And so that's not the worst purchase I ever made, but that was on the top of the
most
list.
Most regrettable.
Yeah, not most regrettable. It was actually, I look back and I thank God that he used that opportunity, allowed mm-hmm. me to do something dumb.
Yeah.
In a safe way, because it's not like I emptied our savings account.
Yeah. I don't know, back then it could have been pretty close.
I guess you're right. you're right, it probably was.
But you weren't paying attention to the
I wasn't paying
account.
Attention to the savings account, so thanks.
Okay, ask me your last question now. We'll get the spotlight off of you.
Okay, what is one area you can grow in your relationship with money?
I don't want to say. I take the fifth. Okay.
You can't.
Okay.
It's not a court of law. This is marriage after God.
Okay. So, ready for some truth? Some honesty?
Yes.
Okay. You already know this about me. We just wanted to take a quick break to ask you, if you are enjoying this content, would you please leave a star review and a comment review? This helps us spread the word about Marriage After God and just all the episodes that we have to offer. And we would love just to get that reach out there. So please, again, if you have a moment, just take that time to leave a star review and a comment review for us. Thank you so much and enjoy the rest of the episode. I have this problem when I feel like we need to spend money for things, especially if it's for the house or for the kids or whatever. Mm. And let's say I am at Target or Costco or Whole Foods or whatever, and I
or online
and I see a few extras that I wasn't necessarily planning on buying, or at least at this time, right, and I just go ahead and go get it without consulting you. I feel really bad about that, and I know it's an area that I need to grow in, because there's been seasons where I am good at it, and I feel like I'm respecting the commitment that we've made to discuss purchases over a certain amount, and then there's other times where I just disregard it, and I don't know why I do that.
And you're not talking about, like, you know, a pack of gum or like an extra pair of socks or like.
Well, I'll buy an extra pair of shoes for one of the kids, but they really don't need it. It's just they're really cute, and they're you know, right there on the end aisle.
How often does this happen?
Target. I'm just saying.
How many shoes does Olive need?
I know. We try and be pretty minimalist when it comes to
some things,
the way that we live. But then there's times where I'm just like, oh, and I need. Yeah. This type of hand soap and laundry detergent and all of these extra things when I wasn't planning on making those, I guess, happen that day.
So,
truthfulness, transparency.
Transparency. Yeah. I think that's a good one. Yeah. I mean, we both do it, though. Yeah. Like, we base it off of what we see as valuable.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is an important purchase, but our scales of value are so different from each other sometimes on purchases, but which is why we should discuss them more, which is actually something that we've just, another level of honesty with our finances, we just recently are revisiting with each other, because we get out of sync.
Yeah. That was the topic of our conversation, which is why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, so, you know, we're out of sync right now.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to get back in sync with each other of communicating. Just a rule of thumb, something that we've instituted in our marriage, and what we're talking about is that we've stopped doing, but what we used to do is we would discuss any purchase that was going to be over $50.
Yeah.
We would plan out things that we're trying to save money for, and we just haven't been doing that lately, and it hurts us.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get back into that. We're going to be on the same page with each other on things that we want to spend money on, needs versus wants.
Yep. That's a big one.
What we're trying to save for. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're done with our questions, but I do have one more question that I want to answer so that those listening know.
Okay.
So we're writing this book, Marriage After God, and we are dedicating a whole chapter to finances and how it's foundational to a marriage after God. And I just wanted you to share a little bit about that before we close out.
Well, it is. There's a few things that are on the top of the list that cause divorce and destruction in marriages, and it's sex and money. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't have a sober biblical mindset of money, if we don't understand what it's for, if we have the wrong perspective and relationship with money, it will destroy us. And we experience that. Mm-hmm. And this is not just having it or not having it.
Mm-hmm.
This is whatever money you have, what your relationship with is. And even if you don't have money, what's your relationship with pursuing it? Because the Bible talks about not pursuing wealth or not toiling to pursue wealth. It says be wise enough to desist, right? It tells us that we can't serve God in money. We have all these, you know, Jesus talked more about money than he did about other things. Money is important to God. There's a wrong perspective that verse that says money is the root of all kinds of evil, but it doesn't actually say that. That's a wrong understanding of money. It's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so having the correct biblical mature relationship with money, and how when we have that, it becomes a tool, a powerful tool in the life of a marriage after God, in a marriage that's wanting to see God's kingdom grow and their marriage be used for his purposes, because then he can trust us.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells us if you are faithful with the little, you will be faithful with much.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have a whole chapter in the book dedicated to finances and money and our relationship with it and how we're supposed to view it and think about it and use it. And that's why it's foundational. And if you just think money is not important as a topic to consider and to truly evaluate in your life, it's going to control you versus you controlling it.
Or maybe you know that money is a source of contention in your marriage and you guys aren't being one. Like, that is just a red flag that it is time to get on the same page, go for a date night, talk about strategies on how you guys can organize your finances, and then commit to implementing the things that you discuss. Yeah. And we're not perfect at this. Like we just said, we just went on a date night to talk about how we're out of sync right now and we need to refocus and just move forward in oneness and in unity when it comes to our finances. So that's really good.
And the you know, this isn't just financial advice so that we can be, you know, wealthier and happier and all that. Mm-hmm. The point is, the money and the resources God's given us, He desires for us to invest into His kingdom.
Yeah.
Now that looks a bunch of different ways, mm-hmm. but He wants us to think that way. Like, oh, my money and the things that God's given me are not just for my own benefit. Mm-hmm. They are for our benefit, mm-hmm. but they're for the benefit of what He has given it to us to use for. Mm-hmm. You know, in growing our families, taking care of families, in generosity, mm-hmm. in building the kingdom through, supporting missionaries or building an orphanage or adopting a child or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The money's for that,
yeah.
for those things, the thing that God's called us to, not for our own pleasures. Now, we do get to enjoy all good things that God gives us. But if that's our own focus, we're in the wrong place in the first place. So, yeah, so that chapter is an important one.
Yeah.
We've actually been editing it.
We're working on it.
Right now. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us this week on money and finances.
Yep.
We hope that we gave you a little bit of insight into just the conversation so that you guys can be talking about it with each other. We hope that you have an incredible week, and we'll see you next time.
Did you enjoy today's show? Find many more encouraging stories and resources at marriageaftergod.com, and let us help you cultivate an extraordinary marriage.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness in listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy. Because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join the thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.